It's my pleasure to speak to you again. My friend Ethan just asked me, why are you preaching two times in a row? In fact, I was not supposed to. I was scheduled to be Pastor Tom's preaching. But once Pastor Tom learned that I'm going to preach part two of my series in the Chinese worship, he invited me to speak also in the English worship. Thank you for the opportunity. So last week, I was sharing with you about the five loaves and two fish, and using that to encourage brothers and sisters to give so that we can complete the new sanctuary. And that's the hardware. We talk about the software, how we are going to receive, welcome the new sanctuary. So that's the today's message. In the Bible, there's one very famous passage, which is exactly talking about dedications of the temple. Who was doing the dedication? Do you know? King Solomon. And that was recorded in the 1 Kings 8, 1-9. So I'm going to use this passage to remind us how we can prepare psychologically to welcome our new sanctuary. How long did he build? Let's read it together. In the 480th year after the Israelites came out of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Sivan, the second month, he began to build the temple of the Lord. In the 11th year, in the month of Bul, the 8th month, the temple was finished in all its details according to its specifications. He had spent 7 years building it. Luckily, we did not spend 7 years to build our sanctuary. Less than 1 year. Praise the Lord. Solomon was very serious. He built a long time. Since his fourth year in the reign, he started building. It took him 7 years. It was a gorgeous temple. So from his dedications, let's learn from Solomon what it means. I'm going to divide this passage into four parts, all starting with the word house. The house of God, the house of prayer, the house of fellowship, and also the house of covenant. Let you see how it looks like. This is the sanctuary. Here is a tall building where there's the sanctuary and there's a holy and holy, and then the ark is right here. And here, this is to offer the burnt offerings. So this is a very gorgeous temple that Solomon was building. So let's first talk about the house of God. King Solomon summoned the presence of all the elders of Israel, because they scattered, the 12 tribes scattered around. So this is a big event, so he summoned them, and then bring out the ark of the Lord's covenant. He brought the ark to this place. When all the sanctuary was ready, he brought the ark to the place, and it's the most holy place, and put it between the wings of the cherubim. And what's in the ark? There was nothing in the ark except the two stone tablets. So that reminds us, what's the key of this sanctuary? The key of this sanctuary, the very heart, is to worship God and surrender us to His commandments. So King Solomon, with all this preparation outside externally and outside decorating very well with all this gold, but most important gold, he brought the ark from the tabernacle and placed between the cherubim, and to remind us there's the two tablets, the Ten Commandments. So can I ask you to read together? My father David, who initiated the idea of building a temple? Was it God himself? Not really. Who did that? David. Why did David initiate the idea of building the temple? On one hand, in the past, they were wandering in the wilderness. So a tabernacle will be more flexible, more movable. Now they are more settled. They have this kingdom, the kingdom of David. And he chose the city of Jerusalem as the capital. So rightly, he put a temple there. It's a more stable. So people can gather and worship and make offerings and worship the Lord. He also find out that he was living in a palace. It's kind of shame that he's living in this beautiful palace and God is living in the tabernacle. Actually, God doesn't mind it. Because that's not important. But to David, he really wants to have something good to gather to God. God said, okay, I like your heart. So I'll follow your will. In fact, I don't mind it. But since you want, I'll just go along with your plan. But it's not you who's going to build that. It's your son who's going to build that. Why? Because on one hand, God gave the explanation saying that because David was fighting so many battles, his hand was filled with blood. It's not suitable. So let King Solomon, who has all these kingdoms settled, and build this nice temple. And I think to me, I have also another interpretation. This is my guess. I think this guess should be very valid. The temple should be built by the descendant of David. Solomon was the descendant of David. But the real temple is not this temple. It's Jesus Christ himself. That he also was the descendant of David. It's actually a prophecy. It's a type of some sort. It's really meaningful. And Solomon knows the widow. What will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple? It's actually ridiculous. How can we build a temple for you? It's all yours. It's as our will. So brothers and sisters, when we build a sanctuary, the first and foremost purpose of this temple is temple for God. We build it because the sanctuary is not going to hold God. It's just our will to surrender ourselves as an act of love and respect and build this nice temple and build that God is really appreciate our worship together. So, the foremost purpose of building this new sanctuary, let's remind ourselves, is to glorify God. It's not just to create more space. It's not just to have more a wonderful sound system. The first and foremost purpose of building this new sanctuary is to honor and glorify God. So you can see that here is the tabernacle and here is the temple. Temple actually in the design is resembling the tabernacle. It's a more elaborate structure, more stable structure, bigger structure. So that's the second point I would like to remind us when we're welcoming this new sanctuary. Remember, this sanctuary is a house of prayer. In our discipleship class, we say that prayer. In fact, one way to good think of prayer is ask. God asks us to pray, not just to ask. We would like to pray a variety of prayer. And one way to remind us what are the variety of prayers they will appreciate, God will appreciate more, is ask. What is ask? A stands for adoration, worshiping God. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. S, supplication. So when we pray, brothers and sisters, pray a variety of prayer. Don't just ask all the time. And out of these four, which one is the most important? A. Adoration. Why? It's not just to ingratiate God. It's just that when you worship God, your whole mindset changes. When you seek God's kingdom, all these things will be added upon you. It's to shape your mind. When you have a good attitude toward prayer, a lot of little things will be settled by itself. So God has asked us to pray. So this new sanctuary should be the house of prayer. Let's see how Solomon dedicated his prayer, dedicated this temple as a house of prayer. Could I ask you to read together? Let's go. Then Solomon, The first and foremost prayer that Sardis surrender to God is this one. It's to worship. It's to adore and also at the same time giving thanks. And truly, David was nearly killed by King Saul. But God protect his father. Not just protect his father, now that Solomon could ascend to the throne. All is still to the protections and efforts by God. And also, it was God who protected the whole process. So, although the idea was initiated by David, but God was all in control and protected the process. So, Solomon, right away, he said, God, you're the wonderful God. There's no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. And you keep all the covenant laws. So, brothers and sisters, when we celebrate, when we welcome this new century, the first prayer we grant is adoration and thanksgiving. Without God's help, we cannot build a sanctuary. So first things we need to dedicate, this temple belongs to God. We worship Him, we adore Him, we thank Him for the whole process. The second thing we can pray is supplication. Supplication means intercede. Let's read that together. Now, Lord, and only your descendants have in all they do to walk before me faithfully as you have done. And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. He really wants that there never fail to be a successor. He would like God to bless that, to honor that, on one condition. You have to follow the way of God. So that's why he asked. After he glorified, adored God, he started asking, please help us so that we have someone succeeding throne forever. Give attention to your servant's prayer. Lord, my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence every day. May your eyes be open to this temple, night and day, this place on which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. So, please listen to our prayer. Wherever who come to this temple when they pray, please cast your eyes, open your ears, watch us, listen to us. And then he starts going to specific to pray for individuals and for the nation. So here are supplications. In fact, this individual has to do with sins. When brothers and sisters get around the sanctuary, it's good that before you come to worship God, it's good to quiet your heart and prepare and reflect upon if you've sinned in this last week. And then come and confess your sin to prepare your heart to worship God. Let's read it together. When anyone wrongs their neighbor, so one of the things we can use this new sanctuary is that brothers and sisters who have some problems, come to God and repent. And God will listen to our prayer. God will also be a just God, helping the innocent. And for those who do not repent, God will judge. So that will be a prayer for a personal prayer, especially a personal repentance prayer. And then, Solomon as a king, of course, he always has his nation in mind. He said, God, in case if we people sin against you, and you brought drought, you brought plagues, you brought locusts, mildew, and grasshoppers, all these problems. But whenever we remember we sin, we come back to this temple and pray to you, please forgive us and listen to your prayer. Listen to our prayer and forgive us. And may what? Let's read this verse 40 together. So that they may fear you all the time they live in the land you gave our ancestors. May all the generations of ours will always remember you are their God. So we need to pray for our new generations, the new generation of the new generations. May every generation will worship God. Not just us, but our descendants. So we pray to God, protect our children, protect our new generation. Not just us, surrender our heart to you. This new century reminds us that we have to bring the youngsters to come. So for generations and generations, you will be their Lord. And also protect our church. So if our church seems when we plan together, restore our harmony. When our nation seems, when our nation walk away from you, help us. America is stepping away from God. So let's intercede for America. Not just America, but China. But the rest of the world. The rest of the world is stepping away from God more and more. So let us, as Christians, gather together. We may be minor. We may not be a lot of people. But at least we honor God and show our duty to pray for this generation, pray for the nations, pray for the world, and pray for the next generations. To the effort we could, we come to the sanctuary and pray. And then, Solomon, he has a mission heart. He's not just satisfied with the Jews. He also prayed for the foreigners. Let's read it together. As for the foreigner, this appreciates Solomon quite a lot. He's a mission-minded king. It's not just the Jews. The painful is not the temple. It's just not built for the Jews. But whenever foreigners who surrender, who worship you, who honor your name, listen to them. Not just as Jews. By the same token, brothers and sisters, the sanctuary is not just built for believers. Bring their seekers to them. So hopefully, many, many people will get saved in the sanctuary. And by the way, our welcome party for the new students this coming fall will be here. Just, I think, one hit of the dedication. So let's bring it in. Let's fill the seeds. Say, let God plant the seeds. Let the Holy Spirit plant the seeds that will blossom one day. And then they will come to Christ to worship God again. And their lives will change, transform, and bless. So not just us. The sanctuary is not just built for us to have a good time, worship and sing. It's very important we bring seekers around to worship God together. And Solomon was very smart too. He knew that one day maybe the whole nation will walk away from God. So he already prepared a clause. Just in case we're not here anymore. Let's read that. And if they turn back to you, and pray to you towards the land you gave your ancestors, toward the city you have chosen and tabled, built for your name. Then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear the prayer and the plea, and uphold the cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all the offenses they have committed against you, and cause the captors to show them mercy for their young people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of death's iron smelting furnace. Who was what the one person who did it very well? Later. It's Daniel. The only one who was in captivity in Babylon, although he was the prime minister, but every day he spent 3 times during to what? Toward the temple. It really happens. So some of the brothers sometimes, when they sin, they walk away from the church. And one day, when they are in the room, and feel that they really they're suffering from their own sins. May they pray toward the church. Come back to the church. And let God forgive them and restore the relationship between them and God. And that really happened. So the sanctuary is a sanctuary of prayer. The sanctuary is a sanctuary to worship God, and the sanctuary is a sanctuary of prayer, A-C-T-S. The sanctuary is also a sanctuary of good time, fellowship. Let's see. After Solomon prayed to God, then he assembled the people and started talking to the people. Let's read it together. When Solomon had finished all his prayers, and the following day he sent the people away. They blessed the king and then went home, joyful and glad in heart for all the good things that the Lord had done their servant. So Solomon then had a good time. He summoned the people, he blessed them, and then he started having sacrifice, have cows, and this. He has a wonderful feast, wonderful meals together. And how long did they rejoice? The whole week. 7 days. A lot of meals, a lot of singing, and not dancing together. They deserve it. So the church is also a church of celebration and fellowship, brothers and sisters. First and foremost, we dedicate the sanctuary to God. At the same time, we release this temple, this sanctuary, to get we close to God. Whether we personally, or the church, or the whole nation get closer to God by prayer. But it's also a good time to encourage one another. We come to worship God together. We teach, we learn God's word. We pray together. We sing together. We even have barbecue together. We have coffee together. So we look forward to that dedication. We have a good time together. That will be only one day though. Not 7 days. And here, Solomon summoned the people and blessed them. And finally, this is also our house of covenant. Was God pleased with this dedication? He was very pleased. That's why, right after that, God appeared again. He spoke to Solomon again. When was the first time he spoke to Solomon? When he ascended the throne, he said, I'll protect you. What do you want? I can grant you a wish. And Solomon, what did he ask for? Not wealth, not power, but what? Wisdom. And God was so pleased. You're not asking for something that is your own good, your own glory. You ask for wisdom so they can judge this big nation. So I'll grant all this to you. So God was so pleased. He appeared the first time to Solomon. And then, when Solomon gathered the temple, he appeared the second time. Let's read it together. When Solomon had finished, so God was so pleased and appeared to Solomon and told him, all your prayer I granted already. I listened already on one condition. What condition? Worship me. There's no other God. In fact, right away, he has a covenant. The day you disobey, you start worshiping idols, you serve other gods to worship them, what happened? This temple will turn upside down. Just the reverse. On this one day, you create this big temple. But you know what? This big temple can be a joke. This temple will become a heap of rubble, and all who pass by will be appalled, and will stop and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this man and to his temple? Brothers and sisters, when we build this sanctuary,
On one hand, it's a good way to worship God and honor God, but we have to use this temple well. Otherwise, it can be a joke. Not only deal with the hardware, we have to deal with the software. Let's fill the space. We do evangelism, we pray, we surrender ourselves to God, we worship God in our lives, treat Him the first, and then He will bless our church. And through us, He will bless a lot of seekers and fill the space. But if we do not, if we just build an external sanctuary, you know what? One day, people will laugh at us. How come there are only several people? Scores of people in your big sanctuary will become a joke. So what's the bottom line of the sanctuary? It's yourself. What comes first? Let's read. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God, rather than burnt offerings. Most important of all is your heart. Your heart of glorifying God. And treat God as your God. Then this sanctuary becomes very meaningful. And God will use this sanctuary to listen to your prayer, listen to prayer for other people, and also bring many people to Christ. But first is you. So as brothers and sisters, when we close, let's welcome and prepare for our new sanctuary. For three things. We offer, we still have some money nagging. For example, there's some shrubs that have not been pledged yet. So quite a few. So we still have some offering. Second one, pray. Prepare our hearts for this time. This wonderful time. And for that day, use our Chinese cooking. Wonderful feast. Celebrate. Let's wait for that day. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, thank you. There's no sanctuary in this world that can contain you. But listen to our prayer. Our little things to offer you is foremost to you. And please listen to our prayer. And bring many people to come to you. And may this new sanctuary be filled with people one day. And many seekers will come to Christ. Many disciples will make even missionary sense to the Western world to tell your name. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.